We left off in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We were doing a little bit of Agadata. So yesterday we were discussing the various questions that they asked the Zakenim. The Mishnah discussed why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like Avodah Zarah, he has such a distaste for Avodah Zarah, so why doesn't he just get rid of it? So the answer that keeps on coming up in all of these conversations is that people have choices in life, that in the end of the day, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get rid of every little thing that could lead us astray, so then no one's going to ever have Bechira, and people will, and very often if you get rid of certain bad things, people will go and do other bad things, so it's you just have to make the right choices in life. So the way the answer was expressed in the Mishnah is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets rid of the Avodah Zarah, that are totally useless in this world, so people start being Oved, Chama, and Levana. So what, you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of the Chama and Levana as well? But he doesn't want to destroy his world just because there are a few crazy people that decide to go ahead and completely misunderstand the role of the Chama and Levana, the role of the different creations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. And to that end, the Gemara said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to make it that nature will stop working just for the sake of making it clear to people that they're doing something wrong. And that's why if a person goes ahead and steals something and then plants it in the ground, it's still going to be tzomeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to suspend nature for that reason. A person hopefully will realize that you're not supposed to do things like that. If a person goes and sleeps with an Eishes Ish, she's going to become pregnant. It's possible that she will have a baby and the baby will be a mamzer, because it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu that did it, that made the baby a mamzer. It's the person that did it. That's the ability of a human being through Bechira Chafshis to do bad things, that people have the ability to do very bad things. And that's the idea that the Torah is Dracha Darchinam Chol Nesivasa Shalom. The Torah itself is perfect and peaceful, but tzaddikim yalchubam poshim yikashlubam. Tzaddikim will know how to follow the ways of the Torah and it will actually look peaceful, whereas poshim yikashlubam, people who want to be posheya, people who want to do the wrong things, they will continue to stumble and they will sometimes use the laws of the Torah in order to hurt other people, such as the example the Gemara gave with sleeping with a married woman and creating a mamzer. That's poshim yikashlubam, using the laws of the Torah, the of mamzerus, in order to make someone else's life miserable. And that's similar to the Aguna crisis that we have now. It's a law of the Torah that a married woman is not allowed to marry another man. So a tzaddik will understand how the laws are supposed to be applied, and a rasha is going to use those to his advantage to hurt other people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change the halachos. The people just have to be able to get our acts together and do the right thing. So we are holding now on the second wide line on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Shaul Palos Vasechar is from Gamliel. So Shaul Palos Vasechar is from Gamliel. A certain philosopher asked from Gamliel, Kasav B'Torah Aschem, it says in your Torah, Ki Hashem Elkecha Eish Uchlehu Kelkana, it says in your Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an all-consuming fire, he's a jealous God. Mipnei Ma Meskanei Ba Ovdeh, Aved Meskanei Ba. Why is he jealous of those who worship the Avodah Zarah and not jealous of the Avodah Zarah? Meaning, all the Torah speaks about is punishing the people who do the Avodah Zarah. Why doesn't he go after the Avodah Zarah itself? If there is that kinah, isn't the kinah misplaced on the people who do the Avodah Zarah rather than on the Avodah Zarah itself? So Amar Lo, Rav Gamliel responded, Em shalucham mashal ma'adavar dam. Let me explain it to you with a mashal. Lemelech basar adam shahayilo ben echad. It's like a king who has an only son. Va'osa haben hayimagadalo asakelev. And that son raised a dog. That son happened to have a pet. Ve'helelo shem al shem aviv. And he named the dog after his father. Ukshu nishba omer b'chaye kelev abba. And when he took a shavua, he would say, by the life of my dog, Abba, or whatever the father's name is. So, kishashama melech al mihu kawes. When the king hears about this disgrace to his name, this complete disrespect, who's he going to get upset at? Al habenu kawes or al hakelef kawes? He's going to get upset at the child or he's going to get upset at the dog? Meaning, a person decides he's going to go and bow down to a tree, to the sun, to the moon, to a car, to whatever. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get angry at the tree. The tree didn't do anything wrong. It's just sitting there. The tree has no das. It's the person who went out of his way to go and decide that he's going to be mashve, the kelev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to be mashve, the tree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the person that it's not misplaced jealousy. That's exactly where the anger belongs. Haviyomer ha-labenu kois, obviously, he's going to get angry at his son. He's not going to get angry at the dog. So Amar Lo, so he says back to him, Kelevata Kariosa, Valo Yeshba Mamish, how could you call Avodah Zarah a dog? Avodah Zarah has mamashos to it, meaning a kelev is, it's a nothing, it doesn't have any das or whatever. Avodah Zarah, actually, there's substance to it. So Amar Lo, Mari Isa, he says, why would you say something like that? What have you seen that leads you to believe that Avodah Zarah actually does have substance to it? So Amar Lo, Pamachas Nafla Deleka Bireinu, he says, I have a proof. One time there was a fire in our city, Vinisra Fakali Irku, and the entire city was burnt down. And the only building in the entire city that wasn't burnt down was a Beis Avodah Zarah. So what greater proof is there than that? You see that the Beis Avodah Zarah was protected. So there's some mamashos, meaning even if you want to believe that there's a higher power, but still there's some mamashos to Avodah Zarah. So Amar Lo, from Gamliel responds, Em Shulcha Mashal Madav Adam. Let me give you another mashal. L'melech Pasav Adam Shasarchal of Medina, to a king who is Sarchal of Medina, that one of his provinces was rebelling against him. Kishuhu Osa Melchama, so when he goes and he fights a war, Imachayim Osa or Mamesim Osa, where does he start to attack the city from? The cemetery. He's going to go and start shooting up the cemetery. They're done already. What's the point? No, he's obviously going to fight Haviomer Imachayim Osa. He's obviously going to fight with those who are still living. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go fight a war. He's going to go bring a fire into a certain city. Well, he doesn't need to burn down the base of Avodah Zarah. The base of Avodah Zarah is already dead. So he's obviously punishing the inhabitants of the city. So he's punishing them and not that which is already dead. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to burn down the base of Avodah Zarah. So it's not a raya. So Amar Leih, so the Ovid Chavim said to him, Kelevata Koriosa, Mesata Koriosa, you're calling it a dog, you're calling it dead, you're calling all these things to the Avodah Zarah, Imkein Yavdenim in Olam. If it's so worthless, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just destroy it? Now, the Marsha asked the question, what do you mean, Imkein Yavdenim in Olam, that if that's true, then you should be ma'abited from the world? We already explained that Kivan Shemei, since it's dead, we said HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not also Melchamim Amesim, meaning that's why he doesn't bother to be ma'abited. He already addressed that point, that it's not that, you know, I'm not just calling it names, I explained to you with a mashal, that since it's dead, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to bother with making a melchama. Why would he make a melchama with mesim? So the philosopher in this story, L'chora, the Marsha says, was moda to what the Zakenim said, that in the Mishnah, that Ya'avid min ha'olam ipnei ha'shotim, that why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy his whole world just because there are a couple of crazy people, just because there are some people that are misguided. So now he's telling him, since you call it a kelev mace, even though he doesn't do war with mesim, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to fight a war with mesim, but still he should be ma'abidit so that people don't be led astray. Kadesh lo yitu achareha, meaning the time in the Mishnah that you, why should I be ma'abid the whole world mipnei hashotim? So over here, these are things that you're admitting right off the bat are absolutely worthless, have no role in this world. So those things, in order to save people from being Tawa Achareha, those things he should at least get rid of, because the world doesn't need them at all. So that's how the Marsha explains. Ben Yol Yadaz Mefarish, that no, since you're calling it a dog, so apparently Yeshba Hana'a B'miksas, there's some sort of Hana'a, that because you do use a dog, dogs do give human beings some sort of pleasure. So he's asking on the Stira, he's trying to chap him on the Stira, that you're calling him a dog, and then at the same time you're also calling the Avodah Zarah a mace. And a mace, you don't get no anah whatsoever from. You just bury and that's it. You never get any anah from a mace. So if it's a mace, you have denim and a olam, so people shouldn't be obedient. A dog, I understand. So when he told him it was a dog, he didn't taina anything. When he told him it was a mace, so they said, what are you talking about? If it's a mace, then you have denim and a olam. So I'm lo, ilu ledavar shein olam tzorich lo, hayu ovdin, harehu mevatla, harein ovdin lecham ulvanu, klachav mazal, slafikul magayos, yavir olam, mbnei shotim. So he gave the same answer in the Mishnah, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to destroy the Avodah Zarah that are absolutely worthless, that mean nothing, that don't accomplish anything, so then people are going to start to worship things in this world that have a major use and that are put here for the benefit of mankind. And then what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get rid of the sun, the moon, the oceans, because they're a shotim, so he wouldn't do that. And that's what the Pasuk says, That's what the pasuk says. Asof asayf kol me al pnei adama nu'um Hashem, that I will gather everything together. Meaning, Rashi explains this is b'lashon b'tmiya. Hachale es hakol b'tmiya. Should I destroy everything me al pnei adama? Hakadosh Baruch Hu says asaf adam vehema asaf of hashemayim udgei yam v'machshelos es harishayim. I should destroy everything in the world, and it should be a stumbling block for the Rishayim, or I should destroy all those things that are stumbling blocks for the Rishayim. And the Gemara explains the pasuk: "V'chim epneish Rishayim nichshalim ben yavdei min olam." What? Because there are Rishayim that are nichshal in it, I'm going to destroy it from the world. Doesn't make any sense. What? So what's the next step? Then they're going to go worship each other. They're going to worship human beings. So now I have to wipe out human beings. So then what's the point? There's not going to be any humanity left in this world. So it's all going to be worthless. It's interesting that this week's Parashas HaShavua, Kodesh Baruch Hu actually does destroy the entire world. Apparently, because it's a big michshal for everything. So what's the var? Why does Hakadosh Baruch Hu keep saying what's the point? Why would I destroy the entire world? It's not like he never did it. He's done it once apparently. So what's the chiluk? Why was it worth destroying the entire world for the Rishayim in one case? You know, in Parshas Noach, Hakadosh Baruch Hu destroys the entire world. He could have, if it was just about punishing the Rishayim, he could have just killed the people. Why does he destroys all the animals? He destroys the land itself. So apparently, there's something different over here. Over here, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, so you could argue it's just a numbers game. When there are a few Rishayim, Mipnei Ashotim, Ashotah by definition is someone who does something out of the ordinary, right? That's what Ashotah is. Ashotah is everyone else thinks in a certain way, and he is totally off, right? When we call a Hadas Shotah, what's a Hadas Shotah in Hilchos Dalad Minim? Hadas Shotah is that normally the proper Hadasim are supposed to have three leaves that all grow out of the same spot. A Hadas Shotah is two of the leaves grow out of the same spot, and one is totally off. So that's the definition of a Shotah. It does something completely different out of the ordinary. So on a Pasha level, you could say, that's the difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mipnei HaShotim, for a minority of the people who are going to go and do things that are crazy and do things that are totally off, I'm going to go and destroy the entire world. But when it's the entire world that's doing something, and you're the Shotah when you're a believer, you're the Shotah when you're a Noach, that's when you're viewed as the Shotah. So then maybe in a Chinami, maybe then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the entire world. Also, we've pointed out Zalman Saratskin in his Naim LaTorah suggests that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the entire world in Parshas Noach, I'm not going to give a drasha this week, so I might as well get it in now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he destroys the entire world in Parshas Noach, the destruction of the world was a message to mankind. It wasn't a reaction. Meaning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things, does destructive things, and he provides an onesh, the onesh almost always has a message to it. It's not just I'm destroying it to get rid of the evil. He's destroying it because the evil will be there as long as there are people that can choose to do evil, as our Gemara is highlighting. He's destroying it to give some sort of message. Zalman Saratskin suggests that if you look very carefully at the Pesukim right after the Mabul is over, so the Pesukim are, the speech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lecture HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Noach, which one would anticipate would be an incredibly powerful lecture. Look, I destroyed the entire world. Here's the message. And what does he tell him? He starts telling him that you can go and eat animals now. Animals are mutter. And you should know animals are going to be afraid of you now. And you should know animals are not allowed to kill you now. It's all about how human beings are supposed to interact with the animal kingdom. What in the world is the message? So Zalman Saratskin suggests that the message is that a human being by nature is caught between two worlds. We're caught between Malachi Hashares and between the animal world. We have this little bit of a physical existence, yet at the same time we're imbued with a spiritual sense as well. So, and there are a few things that we do that when we do them we become perilously close to falling into the animal world. And how we do those things is very critical. When we eat, when we relieve ourselves, certain things, Tashmish Shemitah, certain things that can really bring us very close to the animal world, and we have to be very careful that it be done with the utmost kedusha. So Zalman Strassman suggests that the Dora Mabel, where they went wrong, was that they lost touch with that dividing line between the animal world and the human world. That's why Chazal highlight that what was their avera, in addition to stealing and everything else, Chazal highlight how they were committing bestiality left and right. Well, why of all averas to highlight? They did a lot of averas. Why that avera? So the point is that that's where they lost touch of what a human being is supposed to be, of what a person is supposed to be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the animal kingdom to show them, look, this is not you. Humanity is going to be saved. The rest of the world is gone. Now you are on a higher level. You're not supposed to be together. And that's why the instructions after the Mabul are all about your Kedidin animal. Because the animal's there to serve you. It's not there to be an equal with you. And on. All those instructions after. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to destroy the world stam just to save us from violating the Avera. That doesn't make any sense, because then we'll go violate another Avera. People are plenty creative. We'll find something else to do. We'll find other Averas to do. Similar to, you know, it's a good lesson in Chinuch also. You're never going to be able to protect your children from the ability to violate any Avera. We could do our best to protect them. Ultimately, they're going to get out there and they're going to find the ability to do various averos. The key is, the focus has to be on teaching them how to make the right choices in life and teaching them proper hashkafa and a proper koach nafshi to be able to stand up to various pressures. That's got to be the key. Okay, so anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Shal Agripa Sartzava is from Gamliel. That's what we're up to? Yeah. So Agrippa Sartzava asked from Gamliel the following question. Ksiv b'tarascham, it says in your Torah, ki Hashem elkecha eshuch lehu kelkana, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an all-consuming fire, he's a jealous God. Do you ever have jealousy from someone who's greater to someone who's lower? A chacham is miskane, but with another chacham, that guy is so smart because he takes away the credit from him. A gibor with another gibor, an ashir with another ashir. Why would Bill Gates be jealous of a beggar on the street? It's just they're not even on the same madrigal. What are you going to be jealous about? So amalo emshelcha mashal ma'adavar dama. So he says, I'll give you a mashal. La'adam shnas. It's like a person who marries a second wife, right? Mutter meikra din before lechem drabinu gershim, to marry more than one wife. So a guy goes and he takes a second wife. Chashuva mimena ein miskanaba. So it's hard for us in the 21st century to understand this mashal, but in a time where people would marry more than one wife, so if the second wife was more chashuv, the first wife was a little happy. She wasn't miskani. She's like, good, makes me look better. You see, this is his standard, and I'm married to him. So he goes and he marries someone who's a very chashuv person. She's not going to have any sort of kina. But you go and he takes another wife who's a low life, so then it reflects very poorly on the first wife, that not only was that's what he needed to supplement our marriage with someone who was such on such a low madrega. So you have to view the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and humanity, as a marriage, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at who else we choose. So ideally we're going to be so enthralled with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not going to want to choose anybody else. But so when we go and we choose somebody else, which by definition is always going to be p'chusa mimena, by definition is always going to be on a lower madrega, so then of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a sense of kina. So Amalei Zunin Rabbi Akiva. Zunin says to Rabbi Akiva, who is Zunin? The Gemara just mentions his name. So who is this person Zunin? So Rashi says, I thought Rashi said, yeah, there Rashi is, Zunin Yisrael Haya. Two words. Zunin, he's a Jew. That's who Zunin is. Now the Mashar writes, Im Kabbalah Nekabel. Look, Rashi says he's a Jew. If Rashi has some sort of Kabbalah that he's that Zunin happens to be a Jew, fine. I don't know of any such Kabbalah. I don't buy it. Meaning the Rashah seems to be saying that he was a guy, that he doesn't believe that he was a Jew. So the Chidah in Pesach Einayim brings that there are some that explain Rashi based on the Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Tes, because the Gemara over there says, Uba Zunin Memuno Shel Rabban Gamliel Va'amar Higia Eis Levara Chametz. That Zunin was apparently someone who was like a Shamish to Rabban Gamliel, and he reminded him when it was time to do Bir Chametz. So that Gemara very much sounds that Zunin was a Jew. That seems to be the source for Rashi. But the Chidah says that that's not necessarily a Raya at all, because the name Zunin is like saying Bob is a Jew. Yeah, there are some babs that are Jews, some babs that... So Zunin Shamash Shalom Gamliel is one Zunin. Zunin Stam doesn't say anything about Shamash Shalom Gamliel over here. And plus, it could be that he was a Goyan. He was still working from Gamliel. Jews have been known to employ non-Jews. It happens all the time. So that's not... The Gemara is not necessarily a Raya at all. The Gemara Masech Shabbos Pei Aleph says Zunin Ol Lebei Midrasha Amr Le Rabosai Avanim Shal Beis HaKnesses Shirun Bekama. So he starts asking a shayla. Zunin comes into the Beis Medrash and he asks a shayla in halacha. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that Rashi assumed that it must be that he was a Jew based on that Gemara, because Rashi assumed that he must be that he was a Jew based on that Gemara. Plus, it says in the Gemara later on, the Mishnah later on, Daf Samachay, Baitus Ben Zunin. So the Baitusim we're going to discuss Ben Zunin. So it must be that that's Zunin, and Zunin is in fact a Jew. He quotes in Shor Mitzvah Balacha that he heard from the Satmar Rebbe Zichron Levracha that Rashi points out Yisrael Hava, and by Agrippas, Rashi says that Agrippas was a guy. Rashi goes out of his way to say that, right? Does Rashi say that? Ah, so good. So Rashi says, that Ovid Kochavim Hayemimun al Rashi Giyasas Me Agrippas Melech. Agrippas Sartzva was a guy. Why does Rashi highlight who was asking the question, whether it was a Jew asking the question or a non-Jew asking the question? So he says here from the Satmar Rebbe, L'may Nafkamina, it's coming to show you that with a guy, it's mutter to be meshiv al divrei kfira. That when a guy comes to you with kfira, you could go and you could respond to the divrei kfira. As opposed to by Yisrael, who comes to you with divrei kfira, it's asr l'hashiv. You're not even allowed to respond to him. He's just going to use it to be more destructive and more damaging. So you don't even respond. You don't even honor it with a response. Why did the Satmar Rebbe say this? So in Shor Mitzvah Balach, he doesn't go into any more detail than that. I believe this vort is printed in the Sefer Vayol Moshe, which is the Satmar Rebbe's rampage against Zionism, where he says, the truth is, I shouldn't even be writing the Sefer, because when they're kofrim that are Jews, you're not even supposed to respond. But I see that there are Yerei Mushlemim who are caught up in the all the excitement of Medinas Yisrael or whatever, and they're being misled, and people are quoting them all sorts of sources in Torah that they think it's the right thing, so they're just totally being misled. For those people, that's who I'm really writing the book for. I'm not writing it for the Kofrim. I would never respond to the Kofrim themselves. He associates Zionism with Kofrim by definition. So anyway, that's the original context of the Vart. But it's a good Vart anyway, even if you don't like the context. So anyway, I'm Zun Rabbi Kiva. So Zun says Rabbi Kiva, Libi v'libchi yad davod zchav nespe mashasha. Me and you both know that there's no mamashas tavod dezara. V'chasin gavri dazli be mitpri vasi be v'asu ki mitzmedi ma'itayma. But we see that there are people that go to the avod dezara when they're broken and they come out and they're healed, right? So they have special healing powers. So how can you say, how does that happen? Samalo emshal chamashal ma'ad avodom. He says, let me explain to you. La'adam ne'man shayu bi'ir v'kol b'nei iro Let's say there was a guy who was a trustworthy person, lived in a certain city, and all the people of that city, since he was such a trustworthy person, would give him a pikadon without any edim. They wouldn't require edim. They would just say, here, watch this thing for me. And they knew that they're going to get it back, and he's never going to try to keep it. But there's one person that says, well, I'm cautious. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go and give him the pikadon only with edim. So one time he forgot and he was mafkid to him without edim. Amrlo ishto bo v'nichparenu. So his wife said to him, you know what? Let's go and let's deny that we have it. This is the guy who didn't trust you, and the one time that he forgets to use edim, so take advantage of it. If he's going to show that he doesn't trust you, give him a reason not to trust you, and you should be comforted that you even have it. So Amrlo, so he says to his wife, he says, what do I have? The most valuable thing I have in life is my reputation. So I'm going to go and I'm going to ruin my reputation because this moron decided that he doesn't think I'm trustworthy enough when the whole rest of the world trusts me. Why would I ruin my reputation over that? Why would I get involved in something like this? So this is one of the rare instances where the wife suggests something and she possesses less chachma and bina and das, but whatever, less bina at least than the husband does. So the husband's right. So I've cut. It's a mashal. It's not a reality. Avkach, so too, Yisurin, B'shah, Shemeshagrin, Osan, Ala, Adam, Mashpino, So, Shalotelchu, El, Biyom, Ploni, Vilotetsu, El, Biyom, Ploni, U'B'shah, Plonis, Validei, Ploni, Validei, Sam, Ploni. When a person is going to suffer, so the suffering has, it's like there's a shvur taken on the suffering, that it should only come upon the person on a certain day, and it should leave the person on a certain day, at a certain time, dafka through a certain doctor, through a certain medication. Not that the doctor and the medication is what makes the Yisurin go away, but that was the deal HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with the Yisurin in the first place. That this is when you should go. It should dafka be under these circumstances and no other circumstances. So Kirin Shi gives man, if the time comes that the Yisurin is supposed to go away, Lates, Halak Zal Beis Avod Chavim, it happens to be that the person goes to a Beis Avod Zara at the time that the Yisurin anyway were scheduled to leave. So Amr Yisurin Dinu Shalonesi. So the Yisurin say, oh, because of the Avodah Zarah, I should just show who's boss and not leave? What do you mean? I took a shvua to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm supposed to leave on a certain day at a certain time. Just because this moron decided he's going to go to a base of Avodah Zarah pumped at that time, I should violate my shvua to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malach Mamun Al Yisurin is not going to violate his trust with HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because a person made bad choices in life. The person that the Yisurin happened to be on made bad choices in life. Exactly like the case of like the Mashal. Sometimes chalayim are ra'im b'shlichusan, meaning their shlichus is to do something that's very difficult and do something bad, but they're still going to be ne'aman b'shvuasan. They're still going to do whatever they're supposed to, whatever they promised to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of when they're supposed to leave. It is interesting that when the Yisurim come, it says that they should only come shaltelchu el b'yom ploni. Just narrows it down to a day that they're supposed to start. When the Yisurim leave, it's yom ploni, Aplonis, Al Yedei Ploni, Al Yedei Sam Ploni. I'm not sure what to make of it. I just noticed it now when I was reading it. But it seems that when Yisurim come, it's much less precise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more, gives much more leeway. When they leave, exactly how they leave is predetermined. Now, the Achronim Abadra over here, wait a second, if it's predetermined exactly when and how the Yisurim are going to leave, what's the point of davening? There's a Tosfos Masech, Rabbi Yaakov Emden over here points out in the back of the Gemara, there's a Tosfos Masech Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, that says that that a person is for sure allowed to daven for refuah, because masa yechlu nigzar, masa yisrapu lo nigzar, Tosfos says. When a person is going to get sick, that's a gzera that's already been made up in Shemayim. When a person is going to get better, that's not nigzar. What do you mean it's not nigzar, Rabbi Yaakov Emden asked? This Gemara says not only is it nigzar, the exact time is nigzar. No, the point is that the time that it's going to start is nigzar and can't be preempted with tefillah, apparently. When it's going to leave, that's nigzar, but you can use tefillah, you could be mevakesh rachamim, to get the refuah to come earlier. So there's a latest time that it can leave, if it's going to leave, but there's tefillos can help the refuah come at an earlier time. Now that's...
You said, I mean, Yitzchus was right, but chatzos, it was an exact time, and the Gemara has the whole thing with chatzos and brachatzos and
so on. Right, that it had to be at that time.
Exactly, and it's specific.
Right, so there is this predetermined time, but nevertheless, Tosfos still assumes that tefillah can make the time come earlier, that if you do things right, you can make the time come earlier. There was another diak I wanted to point out. I don't know what it was. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amale Rav Bar Yitzchak Rav Yehuda. Ha'ika beis avodus chavim ba'asrin. So Rav Bar Yitzchak, now you have Rabbanim asking the shailas. It's not philosophers anymore, and it's not Bikorsim. So Rav Bar Yitzchak goes and asks Rav Yehuda. Ha'ika beis avodus chavim ba'asrin. D'chi mitztarech alma l'mitra. Mischazilu b'chalma. There is a certain avodah zarah that when the world needs rain, the avodah zarah appears in a dream and shows the people that he wants a sacrifice to him. Va'amalu shachtu ligavrit. Says, slaughter a person for me, va'isi mitra, and I'll bring rain. Shachtu lo gavra, and they slaughter someone to this avodah zarah, va'isi mitra, and it rains. So someone takes one for the team, and everyone else is saved, and rain comes. So how does that work? Why does the avodah is there? If there's no koch to avodah zarah, how does that happen? So Amalei hashta iav shachivna lo armi l'chu hamil sada amar. Rav. He says, you know, if I was dead, I wouldn't be able to give you this answer. Very strange kind of expression, meaning it's, I'm glad you got me while I'm still alive, because I don't know how many people know the answer that I'm about to give you, and thank God we're able to continue our Masara. What does the pasuk mean when it says, Asher chalik Hashem elokecha osam lechol ha'amim, melamed sheichlikon bedvarim? That teaches you that hechlikon bedvarim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads them with words, kedei l'tordan min ha'olam, in order to make them disappear from the world. V'hainu dam reish lakish, ma'idichsivim l'leitim l'yalitzul anav mitin chen, bal l'tame poskelno, bal l'tare m'sayeno. So, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give certain kochos to those who want to look for Tumah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them the ability to find Tumah and the ability to believe in that Tumah. Meaning, this is beyond what we said before. Before we were saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to change nature and take away certain kochos that were there beforehand just because people have misguided beliefs and misguided worship. Now we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's beyond that. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to give kochos HaTumah when you're looking for Tumah, because that's the road you want to go on. You're going to make your choices in life. And again, it's a profound, a lot of the ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us is a profound parenting lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to let us make our choices in life and hope that we make the best choices. That it's that what they call Rav Volbi writes, Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. There are those that are planters and there are those that are builders. Builders take everything, they have a prefabbed exactly how they expect the child to be, and the child just feels completely that he can't move on his own, and eventually he just, you know, destroys the entire building. Zriya is you plant the seeds and you let the child grow, and how you got to plant the seeds very carefully and plant the seeds with great precision to make sure that it grows properly, but the child has to ultimately grow on their own. Okay, says the Mishnah. One is allowed to purchase a gas is a wine press that's already been stamped on by the Ovid Kachavim. What does it mean, stamped on? That the way the wine press would work is they'd have a big vat that they'd fill with grapes, and they would take off their shoes, hopefully wash their feet, and then they would step all over these grapes to press them, and it would go down like a stone tube, and then would go pass through a filter and would end up in a receiving vat where the wine would end up. So you can buy a gas pu'uta from an Ovid Kochavim, one that's already been stepped on from an Ovid Kochavim, meaning now we're going to start many, many dapim about Yayin Nesach, about the halachas of Yayin Nesach and Stam Yenam. So this is the introduction to it. So afal pi shehu notel biyado v'noslin tafuach, even though the guy takes sometimes the grapes with his hands from the Yayin, you know, once it's stepped on, and he's noslin tafuach, and he puts it by the wheel of grapes that are underneath the wine press, he's going to gather it in to make sure it gets pressed down properly, right? So even though he's handling it with his hands, still it's no problem. You're allowed to buy it from an Ovid Kochavim. Ve'eino osu yayin esach ad sheyer lebar. It doesn't become yayin esach, or de'eino some of the girsa, because it doesn't become yayin esach until it goes down into the receiving pit. So as long, even though it's a gas pu'ut already, you don't have to worry, it's not yet yayin esach. It only has the status of yayin esach once it goes down into the bar. Yar the bar, if it went down into the bar already, so masha bebar aser vashar mutter. Whatever is down in that bar is aser, everything else is going to be mutter. Fine. So if you look at Rashi, masha bar aser im nagaba ovi kachavim achre kin bar hayu osim lefnei, meaning only if the guy actually touched it once it was in the bar. If the guy never touched it once it was in the bar, he only touched it when it was in the pressing part, and then it flowed down into the bar on its own, so then it's fine. So, but if he touched it while it was in the bar, hayu osim lefnei agas v'akli nosim shom lekabla yayin v'yesh tachin abar besid v'yayin mishtamer betocho v'enu ma'abitipa v'hu bar sid. Sometimes that bar would be lined in a way that it shouldn't be able to, that not even a drop should be able to drip out of it, and that's called a bar sid. Fine, that's the first halacha. Number two, it's halacha number two in the Mishnah, dorkinim ovik kochavim begas, you're allowed to be dorich together with the ovik kochavim, together with the guy in the wine press. Rashi says, what's the chiddush? Why, what's the chiddush that you're allowed to work with him? V'lo aminan mistakir b'yisuri hana'ahu. We don't consider that you're getting benefit from yisuri hana'ah. Da'afilu b'shtia safar haitan at the shari calls manshleir the bar. Because you're even allowed to drink the grape juice until it goes down into the bar. It only becomes problematic once it goes down into the bar. So in terms of getting getting benefit from Yisrael, and that's not a problem. What other potential problem could there be? Umishum gorim tuma leko. You don't have to worry that you're causing tuma. Shemishah shedarach ben ovid chavim ma'at nitmu. Because as soon as the ovid chavim was dorich on it a little bit, and there was a little bit of liquid there, it already became tuma anyway. So you're not causing any new tuma or helping in any new tuma. Umishum sayei de over avera, in terms of helping over avera, because here's a guy who's being dorich and he's causing all this tuma. Leka shavik chavim lanestav al kach. That's not a problem because there's no iser for a guy to cause tuma to the grapes. The guy is not mitzvah. It's not one of the shavim mitzvahs b'nei noach. So you have no problems in helping the guy in his wine press. Avalo botzrinimo, but you can't be botzer. Botzer is the grape equivalent to ktsira of chitim. It's when you cut it from the ground. You're not allowed to be botzer with him. Why can't you be botzer with him? Because this is an earlier stage. You would think kal v'chomer it's okay. So Rashi explains lufi shenosim begas tmeya v'gorim tumahu shenisnosim begas l'shem drichahu udrichasan titamam. When will they become tamei? As soon as he's dorich on them. So you're causing the tumah to happen more quickly by helping him be botzer and put it into the gas. When he's already stepped on it a little bit and he needs your help to step on it a little more, well, everything's tummy already anyway by the time you join in. That's why that's okay. But over here, you're being botzer in the first place in order to get into the gas, and before the dricha, it's not makabel tuma, so now you're allowing it to become makabel tuma, so that you can't do to cause tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're assuming. The underlying assumption Rashi points out in the fourth line, kasavra asur ligrom tuma lechulin shav Eretz Yisrael. We're assuming that for whatever reason it's asur to cause tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Next halacha, Yisrael shu asur b'tuma lo darkin v'lo botzrinima. What if you have a Jew who does things with tuma and isn't worried about being metameis things? Well, for him you're not allowed to be dorich or botzer, meaning even once he's started and it's already tameh, you're not allowed to continue to go help him out. Why? So again, Rashi v'Yisrael also perosu b'tuma over averuhu. He's an over averu. Shari nistav al kach. He's commanded not to cause tuma. He has a mitzvah not to do this. Hilka chafilu dorka nami aser. So therefore, even doing the dricha with him is aser. Shedrichasun b'avera begas tameya udrichasun u'ikur tumasan. Because that's an averu for him. Kshnasun mashke into meim al yidei agas. As soon as a little liquid seeps out, it becomes tame from the gas. And this is a problem of helping out someone who's being over an avera. Ella, what should you do? When he looks for someone to help him out on his wine press, everyone should stay away from him, and hopefully that will discourage him from doing this kind of thing in the future. Again, as we said before, there's no problem because he's not an over avera, so therefore you don't have to stay away from helping him. But even with the Jew, you're allowed to schlep with him chavios legas. You're allowed to schlep with him empty barrels to the wine press to fill up the barrels from the wine press, because that's not an aver. Once it's already tamei, you're not helping along the tuma process. It's already tamei. You're allowed to put it into barrels once it's already tamei. So that wouldn't be a problem. Umavinimo minagas, and you could bring those barrels full of wine from the gas, because again, it's too late. Nachtom shuel sabetuma lo lashin vlo orvinimo el malichinimo pasla palter. A baker who does things with in tuma also, so you're not allowed to knead or prepare the bread with him, because that's all considered ba'avera. But once it's already prepared and kneaded and it's just got to go in the oven, you're allowed to bring it to the palter. You're allowed to bring it to the local bakery. They didn't have ovens in their own homes. Everyone prepared the dough, bring it to the baker, pay a few dollars to rent the ovens for an hour, and go and put it in the oven. So that you're allowed to do. Wine, as soon as it begins to go down the tube in the wine press, it becomes yayin nesach. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to buy an already trampled on gas from the Ovid Chavim. But wait a second, as soon as he starts trampling on it, doesn't wine start to go down the tube? Shouldn't it already be aser? Why are you allowed to buy it? No, we're dealing where it's plugged up, where it's not going to be able to go down. After our Mishnah is talking about when he steps on it, it's the tube is plugged up, so it's not going to be able to start on its incline down to or decline into the bar. Tashma ve'eno si yayin nesach hashir lebar. It says that it's not going to become yayin nesach until it goes to the bar. So how come Rav Huna says that kivin shehiskli mashach? That sounds like as soon as it's in the tube, it's already yayin nesach. So it's not going to be yayin nesach until it goes to the bar if it's stuffed up before that point. Tashma, yar the bar, masha bar asr vashar mutter. Once it goes down into the bar, that which is in the bar is asr, everything else is mutter. Again, it sounds like when it starts down the tube, it's not asr yet. Amrafuna lo kasha. Kan be mishnah rishona, kan be mishnah achrona. There were two levels of teaching over here. Ditanya brishono yomrim badad. Basically, we're going to see that there's a halacha that changed through the ages over here, from one brisa to the next brisa, and that's why there seems to be a stira over here. One's the Mishnah Rishona, one's the Mishnah Achrona. God willing, we'll explain it tomorrow. We'll start with that tomorrow. It's short off anyway tomorrow. A good